This is the Publix Radio. I'm James Baumgartner, and you're listening to Artscape. Brutalism had its heyday 60 years ago, but lately this polarizing style of architecture is back in the spotlight. At the Oscars, Adrian Brody won Best Actor for his performance of a brutalist architect. In Washington, President Trump has reissued an executive order deploring brutalism. And in southeastern Massachusetts, our reporter Ben Burke brings us this story about a brutalist college campus designed by a celebrated architect whose buildings are disappearing across the country.
New England has plenty of old colleges tucked away in quaint towns, but UMass Dartmouth is one of a kind. The location's nothing unusual. The school is surrounded by trees in a town founded in 1664. It's the main green that defies expectations of what a college is supposed to look like. The lawn is framed by colonnades of concrete pillars that support stacks of concrete rooms, which jut out from the buildings over the main green. Inside, the walls of each building are lined with grooved concrete. The hallways lead into multi-story atriums with hanging balconies, angular staircases, and sunken lounges called conversation pits.
What words do you hear students use to describe the buildings here?
Spaceship. alien.
Elizabeth Plant is a social worker at UMass Dartmouth who helps students acclimate to life on campus.
The students, will say this is unusual. I don't know if they understand where it came from or brutal architecture or what that means.
Over the years, students have come up with all kinds of urban legends to explain the architecture. I heard some of these rumors on a recent visit to campus.
I learned that the architect that built it actually worked on prisons, and it actually was just kind of his, like, style that he went with.
It was built to be able to withstand a bomb.
Apparently the guy that designed it had some interesting ideas. He actually wanted to land flying cars on the roofs.
I've heard that people thought he was like a Satanist.
The architect who designed the campus wasn't a Satanist or a prison architect. His name was Paul Rudolph, and he was a brutalist. The term brutalism comes from the French words for raw concrete, béton brut. Paul Rudolph experimented with concrete to create new building shapes and interiors that were never seen before. These innovations turned him into an architectural star during the 1960s, when he won the commission to design UMass Dartmouth. But Rudolph is practically forgotten today.
So this is one of the ones that got demolished, isn't it?
This was his first architectural office in New York.
The Metropolitan Museum of Art in Manhattan is displaying the first major retrospective of Rudolph's work since he died in 1997. Abraham Thomas curated the exhibit. He says Rudolph used to be one of America's most famous architects. There were articles about him in Vogue and Life and the New York Times Magazine.
He was like really seen as the future hope for modern architecture.
At the peak of his fame, clients were paying Rudolph to design buildings on a scale that didn't even exist yet. Rudolph called them megastructures. One was supposed to stretch across the entire width of Manhattan, creating a futuristic highway with housing incorporated into the structure. Thomas says Rudolph was dreaming big at a time when it seemed like there were no limits to American growth. The moment didn't last.
I think there were a number of complicated reasons behind Rudolph's decline in the 70s, where he almost disappeared without a trace from the architectural mainstream.
Thomas says Rudolph failed to build most of his megastructures, including the futuristic highway. The economy hit a recession, architectural priorities shifted, and Rudolph stopped receiving major commissions. Thomas says UMass Dartmouth wound up being the biggest megastructure Rudolph completed in the U.S. He started designing the school in 1963, and he finished in the early 70s.
He at the time said this was his most important project in terms of having complete control over the urban planning and the kind of architectural intentions behind that project.
Rudolph's intentions were different from what the state of Massachusetts originally envisioned. The governor and the legislature handed over 710 acres of farmland to build a technical school that would train students to work in the local textile industry. But Rudolph and the school's founding president had a grander vision. Tim Rowan is Rudolph's biographer and a professor of architectural history.
Joseph Driscoll, the first president of the institution, realized the mills were fading away. They were moving out of Massachusetts, out of New England. He thought that you had to retrain, or you had to train a new generation of people in the liberal arts.
Rowan says that President Driscoll encouraged Rudolph to build something that would signal a timeless commitment to a classical education in the liberal arts.
And he felt that if you built big, and if you built something that looked important and monumental, then it would become those things.
UMass Dartmouth was one of the only American colleges designed by a single architect. That makes it a remarkably unified piece of Brutalist architecture. But this approach has also saddled UMass Dartmouth with an extraordinary maintenance problem 60 years later. Since the campus was built all at once, similar problems are popping up in every building on the main green. The terraced layout of the lawn and the classrooms and the atriums don't meet current standards for handicap accessibility. Most buildings don't have air conditioning, and they're also inefficient to heat. David Gingerella, the school's vice chancellor of facilities, says exposed concrete also tends to crack over time.
We used to have a lot of leaks around campus, and the way that they would solve them is they'd give you a bucket, and if the leak got worse, they'd give you a bigger bucket.
These are common problems in Brutalist buildings, and they've left many institutions questioning whether it's even worth preserving Brutalist architecture. Across the country, Brutalist buildings are being torn down, and Paul Rudolph's work is especially endangered. Kelvin Dickinson is a preservationist who runs the Paul Rudolph Institute for Modern Architecture. He says close to 40% of Rudolph's buildings have already been demolished or altered beyond recognition.
It's a combination of the complexity of his buildings and the fact that his reputation kind of disappeared. And so you can't preserve what people think is just some building by some average architect.
Preserving UMass Dartmouth, which Dickinson sees as a top priority, will cost a fortune. The university's maintenance consultant estimates that the school has close to $660 million worth of overdue repairs and upgrades, which is above average for a university of this size. The consultant recommended demolishing or gut renovating many of the Brutalist buildings. But Chancellor Mark Fuller says that's out of the question.
You would have to drag me kicking and screaming out of here to let somebody demolish it. I mean, we have conversations all the time about how to maintain the integrity of the campus.
Fuller says the university will have to remodel buildings at a pace it can afford. The last major exterior renovation happened 13 years ago, before Fuller was chancellor. At the time, the architects broke with tradition and built a new glass facade surrounding Rudolph's textured concrete library. The next big project is a $100 million renovation of Rudolph's liberal arts building. Fuller says he's more committed than his predecessors to preserving Rudolph's vision.
People need to just understand how distinctive this place is. You'll never see another campus like this, I don't believe, ever. Nobody's going to build this now, ever again. So I think we have to maintain it.
Fuller says that's the case he needs to make to the Massachusetts legislature and to the general public. For the Public's Radio, I'm Ben Burke.
You can find more episodes of Artscape at thepublicsradio.org/arts.